And so, I like, this had to be the offseason that they replaced LeBron from a Caps standpoint, just a very practical standpoint. And then you go back to him and be like, hey, and this is what I would have liked to see. And I think this speaks to a level of that they didn't really want him back in the first place, is I think that there would have been more communication and more like, I'm sorry, we don't want to have to offer you a $12 to $15 million deal or whatever it is, but we need to be able to make it so that once you retire, we can replace your salary slot, not caliber of player, but salary slot with the MLE type of thing. And if they wanted him back, I think they would have approached this offseason kind of more hat in hand and a little bit more deferential of like, we appreciate you, we really want you back. That didn't seem to be communicated. And that's the part where I'm like, there's a lot of hubris in like, we want LeBron to kind of walk out the door. I also understand a certain level of you can't go from the one era to the next with LeBron still on the team. That I get that. And so again, I try to have objective measures prior to the offseason so that it is, I don't fall susceptible to the, oh, well, these are my guys now and I'm happy about this. I wanted a guy that only Kessler checked all of the boxes that I thought was available. And I wanted to have a credible five outlook. I wanted us to not have to freaking switch all the time. And yeah, I wanted a defensive wing on the perimeter. And they went a different direction on that last one, right? And I think Grimes is better than people realize on defense. But I think if he's your number one guard the ball type of guy, you run into some issues. So I also see the vision of we want to put finishers around Luka and Austin while being good enough on the defensive end, and that they got the most important part of that in that five spot. I also didn't expect them to like lose LeBron and then be done all in one transaction cycle with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's been one of the kind of disappointing aspects of like stuff that I've kind of heard over the course of the summer, is that like, the extent to which LeBron and the Lakers were ready to move on from each other is kind of a bummer, mm-hmm. you know, like not just from the standpoint of I said this going into the offseason, I don't see very many paths, or I still don't see very many paths where the Lakers are better after this summer without LeBron than they were with him last year. Mm-hmm. And I'm still nervous about that right now. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I thought the Lakers were a little too happy. Maybe happy isn't the right term, but like they were, hubris is, I think, a good term for it. Like they showed a little bit too much hubris in their like openness to LeBron just leaving, mm-hmm. Especially with the possibility that he goes and joins AD and is on the Golden State Warriors. That would suck. I don't like how that game would go, but And so like, because of that, like from like a human standpoint, like telling mm-hmm. a human story here, I would have liked to seen that end a little bit better. And I think the best way that it could have ended was for him to be the starting power forward on this team and continue to usher in the Luka era. I actually thought that he handled that and Luka handled that incredibly mm-hmm. well last year.
Last year could have been so much worse than it was, bro. Like,
oh my yeah. God, dude. Like, yeah, absolutely. And so like, I actually think we're going to see a really funny version of that. If he goes to Golden State, and every single game that they lose is going to be some grand debate between Steph fans and LeBron fans. Mm-hmm. I'm pulling for, but yeah, I think, like that is the part of this that like, that would just all of my concerns about this offseason. Not mentioning the perimeter defense, but like in terms of how good this team could possibly be, like you add LeBron to it, that's a title contender. Mm-hmm. And I don't see them as a title contender right now. And I don't think adding Kuminga or Rui would make them a title contender.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
All right, let's go to the next question here from Matthew the Sicilian. I can feel your anger, Anthony. It gives you focus, makes you stronger. This is the quote from the Hulk, right? He says, like, that's the thing about me is I'm always angry. And he turns into the Hulk. Like, that's more me. Matthew the Sicilian, again, just for appreciate consistency, you, do you know if league rules will allow Rob to change Hardy's team option to a player?
Matthew's like, I just got one-liners for you guys. Like, I got questions. I'm just trying to get my takes off. I respect it.
I just picture like LeBron looking at Hardy's contract like, wait, what?
You can do that?
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Wow.
I would volunteer for a weekly colonoscopy to see Pete on the on Bill's podcast.
Simmons, I'm assuming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I made the mistake of complimenting Bill Simmons yesterday because he, I thought, took, you know, raked the Celtics over the coals in response to the Jaylen Brown Brown trade. But apparently he continued going on and on and on a little bit more about the Lakers trading for Walker Kessler, mm-hmm. which,
of course,
you know, I shouldn't have complimented Bill Simmons. That is my bad.
That should be a kind of a steadfast rule for you, by the way, like whenever in doubt.
It's like I always love hearing about how like hearing him get really, really angry at owners for being cheap. And it's like, here's some stuff about the ringer. Mm-hmm. Drew Gallegos writes, after these free agency days, the thing I liked most was our big man rotation with Kessler, DA, and Mamu playing small ball five. More has to happen, right? You know what I was really kind of bummed about now that I kind of think about it? Precious Achiuwa, somebody who you've liked for a long time, would mm-hmm. be perfect.
Oh, that's – yeah.
I would love – I would love that – honestly, I think Koloko's still out there. That kind of a player, I think. Somebody who you don't he's going to be third string. I would prefer this player be young and continues to kind of grow into a role mm-hmm. here. So just like a really young athlete, you know, like who was the center that I was way higher on than everybody else? And then he came back to the Lakers and he was terrible. Shoot, I forget. He was like, somebody help me out in the chat for those of you who like listen to the show frequently, but he was on the Lakers and then the Lakers let him walk. And I threw a big temper tantrum and then he went to like Sacramento and was like,
good Damian there. Jones, even Damian like, Jones. You'd love to do some freaking Damian Jones.
Exactly. But like that kind of mold though, like a really young center who was just really, really lob raw. Mm-hmm. All you're asking him to do is just like, hey man, go catch lobs, make wow plays. And then come back here, you know, after the 10 minutes that you're out there, and we'll bring the professional back into the game. I don't know who that player would even be. I honestly haven't looked. Mm-hmm. I saw Nick Richards is still available, I think. Mm-hmm. Or did he sign a multi-year contract? But somebody like that, he doesn't even have to be that good at playing basketball. Just be big and catch lobs.
Can I make a point real quick about that five spot? Go for it. I think the names that got leaked, whether they're specific or not, what do Valanciunas, Looney, and Drummond all have in common? They are massive, strong dudes. That was one thing about the Sexton pickup. Like, I think they're trying to have the backup be similar to what the starter is in that Austin's backups last year were Gabe and then later on Kennard, both of whom play differently than Austin does in terms of being an off the dribble type of speed attack, get to the rim type of player. Sexton's much more similar in terms of how he attacks to Austin than either Gabe and Kennard were. If you have Walker Kessler as your starting five, and then you're looking to back them up with just a strong as hell five that might not be the best lob threat, but just like an immovable object type of thing, I think that might be what they're going for. That makes me a little more skeptical of a Richards type, but
yeah.
Do you go that route or do you go I actually want to have one strong guy, one guy that's a lanky lob threat, you know? But that was one thing that stood out to me. It's like, oh, I wonder if they're trying to go that route with that backup five spot of just like Kessler 2.0, big and strong, you know, going to dominate and all on the boards type of thing. So we'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say like, because even if their power forward is one of Rui or Kuminga, neither of those guys are known for rebounding. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, the backups there, like, cause we still don't even know who the backup, we don't know who the starter is. We don't know who the backup power forward is. Our mutual friend, JD texted me before I went on the show. He was like, you said that Rob Pelinka isn't very forward thinking. He literally doesn't think of forwards. And it's like, you know, not incorrect. But I think we can probably safely say that the backup power forward that they eventually sign, or the backup wing that they eventually sign, isn't going to help much with rebounding. And those guys, Looney, most of those guys, and then Valanciunas and Drummond. Drummond, they all create extra possessions, limit possessions for the other team, which I could kind of get behind a little bit. I just don't like going into a season with Luka Doncic on the team and not having a single real lob threat center on your roster.
I get it.
Let's see. Pat Mavs writes, love the move so far. We defend very well in the playoffs last year. Actually, we just couldn't score without Luka. These moves are good insurance. We lost LBJ too. Mm-hmm. Not yet. They haven't lost Bronny Jr. yet. I joked on a radio hit. Then somehow the radio host didn't get it. I was like, yeah, the Lakers have the wrong LeBron James on their roster right now. And the guy was like, I don't get it. I was like, Bronny's legal name is LeBron. I get it. So you're saying you'd rather have LeBron on the team. I was like, good. Yeah. Good job, bud. What do you make of that point? We couldn't score without Luka, and they've addressed that this year. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had Luka to give sort of a better idea of at least what we need, because I think that if Luka were playing, it kind of slots everybody else into better roles. But I think this is an accurate point that they, for the most part, defended okay. And then when they really had issues, like we had no scoring off of the bench, especially that I think that this is going to be a better scoring team in that respect. That I see this perspective, you know, it's you take a little from one bucket and give it to the other, that I have some defensive concerns now. But yeah, I agree that they've addressed a good amount of that, like ability to put the ball in the hoop.
Yep. Regulation writes, when you guys talking about top offense, is that organized or breaking down the defense in the blender? JJ has his players run his system now. I think both, but really though, like I think their floor, like, you know, I know you kind of roll your eyes at the whole like organized versus unorganized offense stats and stuff like that. But I think the gap between their organized offense and their, you know, winging it offense is going to shrink quite a bit this year, because I think these guys, there's a lot more connective tissue on this year's roster offensively than last year's.
Yeah. I don't think, for one, I just disagree with the premise that a lot of the offense is winging it. I think there's far more drive and kick principles applied even in the plays that look that way. I think we're going to run less horns action, less stuff at the elbow, and more. I think this is the first time we're going to really see the system that JJ wants to run. I think we did get better in the blender, in that mid play. That's always kind of driven me crazy that I think we'll be better in that. I also, losing LeBron hurts here. Like LeBron was still our best transition player and is somehow one of the best transition players in the league even still. But one of the things that really stood out to me is if you look at where we ranked in terms of just shots taken in the first 9 seconds or so, like 15 or more seconds left on the shot clock, we were way below San Antonio, OKC, the Knicks were a few percentage points ahead of us. That we just need more cheap and easy buckets, that you get some of that from defense, but more and more of the NBA trend is sideline fast break type of principles, where even off of a made basket, you outlet and you race up the sideline and you really try to get a quick bucket. And this is regulated by principles. It's not just winging it, right? But we weren't fast enough and we didn't have the scoring threats up the wing to be able to do that in ways that I felt like we just really need more easy buckets. And then in the half court, again, I think they can create a really great nowhere to hide effect, and they can go five out a lot more than they could before. That I think that's going to be more of the story rather than a like organized versus disorganized. I don't think that there are too many possessions that are disorganized in the first place.
I also think that on average with Kessler and Mamu, that was one of the things that really kind of stood out for me in the tape with Mamu, is he lays the wood on his screens. He's not a tall guy. He's like, but he's got a low center of gravity and he's kind of mean. So he really sets pretty good screens. And then Kessler absolutely smokes fools. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think they'll probably pick up like once a week, they'll pick up one of those annoying flopping illegal screens that, you know, type of things that like OKC does every other play. But that is something that, like I said, I have zero concerns whatsoever about the offense on this mm-hmm. team. None whatsoever. I am honestly really excited to watch this team next year because of how good I think this offense could possibly be. I am, however, very, very, very nervous about the defense. That's we'll just see what else they do to address it. Let's see. What's the next question here? I like that. Like for a good stretch there, it's like four comments in a row. It's about Damian Jones. It's like, I love mm-hmm. that there are people who just like know the show. All mm-hmm. right. Derek River writes, did you go to Esperanza? You look familiar in your name. I did go to Esperanza, class of 04. Everybody there knew me as Fred, though. Matthew the Sicilian writes, looking back, if you had to choose Kessler full max, Utah doesn't match, keep draft capital, lose some salary flexibility, or how it happened. So the one concern there is that like Utah just comes back and matches it, and then the Lakers are completely screwed. Yep. That is probably the reason that they went with the sign and trade in the first place. But let's say that is an option and you have to say goodbye to like Sexton, I guess, in this case, right? Or was he signed to the...
He was, I think, the room exception. So you'd have to either Mamu or Grimes, you wouldn't have.
Yeah. But would you have rather maxed out Kessler and lost one of those guys, maybe signed somebody to a lower number elsewhere, a different guy to a lower number, but hold on to your two first rounders? Would you have rather gone down that road or the road that the Lakers took?
I would rather have gone down the road that the Lakers took in signing Kessler to the deal that starts at 30.2, because again, I think that they need to acquire as much talent as they can this summer. And that includes the, whatever they're going to do with Vando and Dalton and all of that. I think that getting the talent on the front end is more important than the future flexibility and all of that, because players can be traded too. I feel like the discussion around this is that only for future first have any capital or trade value around the league. And I just don't think that's the case. Like, I think that, putting together the best team now, like that's what the picks are for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I would have gone the opposite route. Okay. But I don't think it was very realistic because the Lakers, like just in terms of the sheer risk involved there, right? Even if you offer him the max, Utah just says, well, we'd rather keep him and then work out our book later, you know? And then the Lakers are just like, Jalen Duren, how you feeling? Now it does help mm-hmm. that he isn't signed right now. So mm-hmm. maybe they would have been able to pivot and head down this path than otherwise. But, yeah, I would like the way that I'm kind of looking at it is they have spending power now and they're looking to move Vando and Dalton anyway. Mm-hmm. So a first rounder allows you, like those first rounders allow you to move those guys and acquire the player that you're looking for that would make up for the talent loss, by way of not signing Grimes. Mm-hmm. And then you also still would have like $10 million, right? Or so, $8 to $10 million in spending power if you would have maxed out Kessler, because I think his max was like 42 mm-hmm. or 43. Yeah, I don't know. I that's the path that I would have taken, but I don't think the Lakers were ever interested in that path because of the risk involved. That was made very, very clear to me over the whole process. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The next question here comes from, which I don't think, I wonder how those conversations went with Utah, where it was like, fine. Like, I wonder if there was ever like a moment where Rob would have like, you know, the line of demarcation where Rob would have been like, fine. I don't want to give up the second first rounder for Walker Kessler. I don't want to do it. And then like, I wonder how it would have gone if it was just like, all right, fine, we'll just sign him to a max and then we'll see where this arrives anyway.
One thing you run into danger with, though, if you do that, if you don't want to, I don't know, add Hugo Gonzalez to a trade, you might find yourself trading a guy for Giannis one day and then you trade him for Paul George the next because you didn't want to give that one more asset because it's too much, you know?
Yeah, And like I said, Pete, if the Lakers had another first rounder in their back pocket,
I get it.
And they had given up two first rounders for Walker Kessler, I'd be like, fuck yeah, that's a great trade. This is a guy that they considered a cornerstone of their franchise moving forward. You're going to have to give up draft. Like I had our mutual follower friend or whatever, Rob, Rob Liefeld, who created Deadpool, which is a really funny thing to say. He was in my mention saying like, oh, the Rams traded all their picks and look how they feel about it. It's like, I don't care about like the Lakers, using picks on players moving forward.
Right.
I care that they would have had a first rounder so that they could have addressed a different hole in their roster using that pick. Like, I'm not making the case of like, man, I really, really, really want the current 13-year-old on the Lakers, you know, roster in 2033. That's not what I'm arguing at all.
Yeah.
Let's see. Matthew the Sicilian writes, being two SoCal dudes, was there a place to hoop in LA that was the equivalent of Rucker Park? I would say Venice was the first place that comes to my mind.
Yeah, that's I wouldn't say it's equivalent of Rucker Park. But that was probably the place. That's actually one thing I've found sad over the last decade and a half is there don't seem to be nearly the number of pickup games that there used to be outside. Like, I think a lot of there's been a huge growth in the personal training amongst the guys who can really play, you know, and then I think most of those games are indoors now.
I think it's hurt basketball. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot playing pickup. Like that was always the place that I felt like I learned the most. You know, you're playing against, you know, because I would be like, you know, 15 years old in high school, and I'd be playing against like 42-year-olds who are fully like developed and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Luca has said that like that actually really helped his development too, right? Because he was playing professional at a really young age.
Yes,
and he was like he understood how like he needed to utilize his leverage and the extra physicality that grown men play with.
You also have way more room to improvise and just try shit that like most of the time isn't going to work, but sometimes it does. Like it allows you to improv, I think, a lot better on the court.
Yeah. And especially like playing outside too. Like I think there would be less of a focus on shooting if more people played outside. Cause you try shooting when it's breezy outside.
Bro, many times. I grew up in the Antelope Valley. And so I would always go to Dominic Starry Park in Palmdale, and we'd have and I was a shooter. It wasn't much else I was going to do. There were some days, man, where it was brutal.
Yeah.
The double rims and shit. And
I grew up there. Like as the previous commenter said there, and I went to school there at Esperanza and the area that I lived in, and like Yorba Linda, Anaheim area, we would get the Santa Anas that used to whip through that corridor that the 91 goes through, right? So you would just get like these gusts up at the elementary school that I grew up at it. And then I would sometimes go up and shoot at. And they had the short hoop, so I used to like to go up there and dunk. But you would go up there and shoot, and I would have to aim a solid 3 feet off the target. Afraid. Oh, man. But yeah, you weren't shooting threes in those games. All right, Pete, I think that's going to do it here.
That was fun.
This was fun. I think it's a conversation that we're going to continue to come back to in a couple of weeks. We'll have, I think at that point, a fully fledged understanding of what this team is going into the season. This isn't like a Kawhi situation or a LeBron even situation where we're waiting for a decision. I think the Lakers are going to like hammer out the final pieces of their roster in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, you and I could come back here and we can debate again how we feel about the team.
Yep.
Anything that you want to plug before we get you out of here?
No, man. It's fun.
All right. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. Promo code HMA on Prize Picks, and then listen to the show wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but I truly do not care. Have a great rest of your weekend. Please be safe out there. It is the 4th. It is this is the Friday before the 4th, being on a Saturday. I know that like there's going to be drinking. There's going to be drinking and fireworks. That's not normally a very solid combination. Please hop in Ubers, take care of yourselves, and let's catch back up again, unless there's breaking news, on Sunday. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.